Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. We're in Miami for Super Bowl week. Tony, aren't you glad to be here?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. I was until the producers made me put a shirt on.
Yeah, a shirt and a jacket, thankfully.
So let me ask you a question. You're dressed up today.
Yeah.
I mean, they told me don't get dressed up today, and you're dressed
you
up today.
You got a blue blazer. Look.
I know.
I was going Tubbs and or Crockett.
Yeah.
That was all I packed to come down here. And the mood changed a little.
It's a fantastic reference for people
like that.
You've
got to be here 65 years old.
Welcome to PTI in South Beach. In today's episode, the Kings come back. The Astros reportedly have a new manager in the Chargers. Appear to be moving on from Philip Rivers. But we begin today with the NBA postponing tonight's scheduled game between the Lakers and the Clippers in Los Angeles. The postponement came at the Lakers' request in the wake of the passing of Kobe Bryant and eight others. According to ESPN's Ramona Shelburne, quote, it was determined the Lakers organization could not put on the operations of having a game Tuesday, unquote. Mike, is this the right call?
Tony, as you know, we ended yesterday's show with me saying I hope they would play this game. But in talking to people, I just found out, I talked to enough people who felt this was not something that should go on, that should proceed. That there's so much emotion when you put two L.A. teams in that building. You're going to put 22,000 people in that building, and you're going to have another 30 outside the building. And the sadness, the depression was going to overwhelm anything that went on. And I listened to people who played there, who coached there. And they just said, no, this is the only time. And they felt the way I did initially, that the game should be played. But in listening to people, I think the folks on the ground, like the folks in the NBA listened, and I'm going to presume they're getting it right.
Well, the difference between you and I is I did not listen to anybody. I'm just listening to myself. And my position would be this actually would have been the perfect game to play because it's the Clippers. Because they share a building, because they share everything, because they're all from Los Angeles.
Right.
And this would be the game. Those people on the Clippers, for an opposing team, knew Kobe better than anybody else on an opposing team. My feeling was that you have to acknowledge, you have to appreciate, and you have to move on. I didn't want the game to necessarily be Hollywood or be extravagant or be fancy. But I thought you could put Kobe's picture up in Los Angeles with a crowd of people that like the Clippers and the Lakers, and you could say, you knew them, you loved them, nobody loved playing basketball more than Kobe, let's play. Now, if you tell me that someone in the immediate family went to the Lakers and said it's too much for us, I back off.
You know how I told you I'm not ready for Super Bowl yet?
Yeah.
I'm not ready. I'm here. I'm 2,500 miles away. I'm convinced from talking to people in and around Los Angeles that they took the temperature of the place and the situation. Notice, I didn't say canceling the other games.
Right.
But I think the NBA is just mindful of all that has gone on and the mood and said, you know what? We're going to err on the side of caution here, and I understand that.
And my feeling would be opening against Portland is not that this is a Los Angeles crowd.
So that's just how I felt. I did, Tom. I sort of moved off of it. Tony, in a game that was played last night, Kobe Bryant could be felt everywhere. Buddy Hield made sure of that because he told everybody before and after the game that while he was growing up in the Bahamas, Kobe was the reason he played basketball, the reason he shoots like he does, the reason he wears number 24. And last night, Hield scored 42 points, 20 in an unbelievably rousing fourth quarter comeback from 16 down with 2:50 to go to beat the T-Wolves. Tone, do you want to praise Hield, or do you want to take apart the T-Wolves for losing their 10th straight?
So, because of all the years of being a sports writer, when I see the score and someone describes me what happens, my initial inclination
somebody choked.
is to say that it's one of the biggest chokes of all time, that Minnesota should be destroyed. Then I heard, and then I saw, the Buddy Hield connection to Kobe Bryant. And apparently he told one of his teammates, quote, tonight I will play like Kobe. And he went out and he did that. He had a fantastic
fourth
quarter.
Play?
Yeah, well, the De'Aaron Fox play we got to talk about later in the thing. But my sense of it now is that I'm okay with praising Hield, but I got to point out The Minnesota panicked. They put their starters back in with 35 seconds.
Took them out too early.
They panicked.
Yeah, they're not the story. They're not. Buddy Hield is the story. And De'Aaron Fox, because that last play, I'm sorry, I may be stretching it here. Something Kobe would have done. Banging off the rim, get the rebound, put it in. It was an unbelievably smart and athletic player who made those for 20 years. And at the T-Wolves, you know what? They were the Washington Generals. They're not part of this story. The Sacramento Kings and Buddy Hield saying, this is why. Hield was so, it was eloquent the way he said, I had to fight people in the Bahamas. I'd say Kobe was the GOAT, and I didn't care what you said. That was the position I had because he was my guy, and he represents an entire generation of players, Tony, in the NBA right now.
De'Aaron Fox play was great. Most of the time they bang it off the backboard and they don't get it back.
He got it.
Tell you this. On the heels of what you're saying about Buddy Hield, I'm going to bring something else up. It's something LeBron wrote the other day. When LeBron said, I got this, and it made me think when I read that, they're going to win the championship. I think that the inspiration of Kobe Bryant is going to be felt all the way through the playoffs this year. It's not that I'm saying that the tragedy will be felt all the way through.
But the energy that LeBron feels and will get from this. Tony, I thought about it. I worried about? And I admire LeBron James for taking this on. I admire him for feeling it, expressing it, being unafraid of it. But then I just worry, can you carry that? That's an awful lot to ask of oneself. If there's anybody who can do it in the league, it's LeBron James.
There's one active player
Absolutely.
Who can do that. That's what I thought as soon as I read it. Bob Nightingale of USA Today is reporting that the Houston Astros are going to choose Dusty Baker, the longtime Major League manager, to manage Houston now that A.J. Hinch was fired in the wake of the cheating scandal. The Astros have probably been the most analytically committed team in baseball. Wilbon, if this report is true, what do you think of this hire?
Well, Tony, you know I'm not surprised by this hire. I told you a couple weeks ago after being down in Houston that Dusty Baker was going to get this job. And the Houston Astros have a lot of stuff to take care of. And one of them is sort of, whether they want to acknowledge it or not, getting back in the good graces of baseball. Dusty Baker is not some analytics nerd who wants to win at all costs and has no conscience. Dusty Baker played baseball, managed baseball. He doesn't need the Houston Astros. It'd be great if Dusty could win, you know, the whole thing. But the Houston Astros, in the need to rehabilitate themselves and their franchise and their reputation, they need Dusty Baker. And Dusty Baker was the man for this job the moment somebody got to him and said, Dusty, are you interested?
So as you know, I like Dusty Baker.
I know you do.
I think he's a major league manager. And I was upset when the Nationals said, we're done with you. I can't be too critical because the Nationals won a World Series. But here's what Dusty Baker is. He's a player's guy.
Yeah.
He's my age, so he's seen a lot of baseball. The Astros are going to be booed everywhere they go.
Yes.
I believe opposing pitchers are going to throw at their players. I believe what they need most in a manager is someone who is relentlessly positive.
A rock.
Relentlessly positive.
Dusty.
Which is what Dusty Baker is. It's not that I think that tactically he's the right choice. It's that I think emotionally he's the right choice. Because I think Houston is going to withdraw. The players are going to get in a shell and Dusty
they
will bring them
not.
Out.
They say they're not.
Well,
you know, Altuve,
that hasn't started yet. It hasn't started yet.
It's going to look. They are a study. We're going to. I mean,
this is a really good team.
Really
Mike.
Bear watching. They're a great team.
It's a really good team.
They are.
And what they need in a manager now is to just keep the train on the track.
You know what?
Dusty can do that.
This is a radically different approach and leader.
I like it
for that on-field group. Do
I like
you
it.
Think this will work?
I do. Because again, he's a very positive players guy,
he is.
And they're going to feel attacked on all sides.
Yeah.
Cause, and deservedly so,
by the way. I'm glad Dusty's getting this chance.
Yeah.
I am. There hasn't been a Phillip Rivers sighting yet, exactly. But Fox's Jay Glazer says that the Chargers have moved on from Phillip Rivers. Rivers, we know, was already relocated to Florida.
He moved on.
He moved on first.
Before then, he moved on.
Right down here. Tony, or maybe up there a little bit.
Yeah.
Going north. Rivers is 38. A lot of wear on those tires. What kind of market do you think there's going to be for the future Hall of Famer?
Let's get to 38. At the same age, Eli Manning said, I'm done. I don't have anything left. At the same age, Peyton Manning, who could not throw the ball anymore, won a Super Bowl. And at 3 years older, and I emphasize older, Tom Brady won a Super Bowl and actually could throw the ball. So Philip Rivers always looked, even like when he was young, that the ball was barely going to get there on time. I think there may be a bigger market than I suspect you think there'll be.
I don't know if there'll be. By the way, I'm not saying that he won't succeed wherever he goes, but a market suggests there are going to be several teams out there saying, no, us, we'll pay you more.
Let's look first. All the teams in Florida need a quarterback. Every one of the teams.
Yeah.
And Bruce Arians, he'll go with Philip Rivers because he's seen him for a lot of years. Because he doesn't want a quarterback that's going to throw 30
picks. I don't think any of those teams are good enough for Philip Rivers, even if he has a B-plus
season. What about Indianapolis, where Frank Reich was his coach once before?
They couldn't protect the young, able quarterback they had.
Well, they supposedly have a good offense. Let me throw a tremendous wild card in here.
Okay.
What if Tom Brady leaves? What if he goes to New England?
Could you see something like that? You know that Bill Belichick, having watched him forever, maybe even looking at his film right now, and he's aware of him. He probably has great respect for him. Maybe that's somebody, the mutual admiration might make that work. Don't tell me the Florida team.
What about Carolina, where didn't he play college ball at NC State?
NC State.
And they just underwent all, they're going to move on from Cam Newton.
Well, probably.
Oh, yeah, and the kid, Kyle Allen, wasn't
a team or two or three taking real interest and ready to pay up. I don't see the market. That suggests to me 7, 8, 9 teams.
You only need two.
Oh, two?
You only need two.
That's
but I think, I think there'll be 3, 4, or 5.
Huh?
My question is, he's never actually won. Can you count on him
to
win?
That's a little deli.
And by the way, he moved on. Don't tell me the Chargers.
Too late.
Let's take a break.
You lost him.
Coming up, does Andy Reid need a Super Bowl win on his resume? We're going to ask Peter King.
We'll also ask him whether he expects Jimmy Garoppolo to just keep handing off the ball.
If it works.
Keep doing it.
You keep doing it. We're in Miami for the Super Bowl, so let's start talking about it with our great friend from NBC's Football Night in America and Football Morning in America. He's got the whole
lot of shows for Peter, isn't
it? Peter King, it means he can't sleep because he's always doing this stuff. Many players talked about Kobe Bryant last night. What do you see as Kobe's influence on NFL players?
Tony, I think so many players in the NFL want to be NBA players. And whereas I think the past generation idolized Michael Jordan, this generation of players, you know, from Patrick Mahomes to Richard Sherman and all the guys in between, they loved Kobe Bryant. He said so many things to him, but it wasn't just him as a basketball player. On the first day that Kobe Bryant, or on the first day the San Diego Chargers became the LA Chargers in 2017, Kobe spoke at their training camp to the players. And one player stood up and said, Kobe, what's your favorite book? And he said, Jonathan Livingston Seagull. And they said, oh, what do you mean? And he goes, this is about a nonconformist. It's a seagull who didn't just want to battle the other seagulls for the scraps of food on the beach. He wanted to aspire to something greater. And that's what he spent his whole life doing. So what are you going to do? You're one of 1,600 players now. You're in the NFL. Congratulations. What are you going to do about it now? Just take your 3-year career, take your little pension and go home. Strive for greatness every day of your life. And the PR guy, Josh Ruprecht, told me Sunday, he goes, after that speech, half the guys on our team went out and bought Jonathan Livingston Seagull. That's the influence of Kobe Bryant.
All right, we're going to transition, as difficult as that is, to pro football, which is why we're all here, particularly you. You've got to spend time recently, this week, with Andy Reid. I know that ain't the first time. But Andy has been a great coach, maybe a Hall of Fame coach, has not won a Super Bowl. How much do you think that is with him? How conscious is he? How much does it bother him? What's your assessment?
I rode to work one day with him last week at about 3:15 a.m. But that's part of the story because I said to him, Andy, does it bother you when people say you haven't won the big one? And he hasn't. The 5 guys ahead of him on the all-time coaching list have 26 NFL championships. He's number 6. He's got 0. And he goes, Peter, you are seeing what my life is like. I get up in the dark. I get in my truck. I drive to work. I park in the parking space. I go in, and I work all day. When I come out, it's dark. I go home, I sleep, I get up when it's dark, and I come back in here. He goes, that's my life. That's my real world. So all that other stuff, whatever people say, they say. But I have no, he said, I take no ownership in any of it.
Wow. Now you know what Dick Vermeil didn't know, that the colors, the trees, the leaves change colors. It's dark to dark.
So you wouldn't know.
You wrote that you see Kyle Shanahan as a young Andy Reid.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Because what Andy Reid does, okay, Tony, in the AFC Championship game, Andy Reid wanted to run pass options, the RPOs. He had a lot of those in his game plan. On the first two snaps of the game, they had a run for 2 yards, and then he was an RPO, and then Mahomes was sacked for 2 yards. So what happened? Andy Reid, the next 64 plays, ran zero run pass options. That's exactly what Kyle Shanahan does. He's so confident in his game plan. He has so many things that he knows will work, that he has designed. If these things don't work, that's okay. I throw them out the window. I've got other things that I know will work.
Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't thrown the ball since, like, Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I know.
Do you expect the Niners to continue to turn and hand it off?
I mean, this is, as I said this week in my column, it's greasy-esque. And I don't mean Brian Greasy. I mean Bob. I mean, and it's Greasy S because, you know, Bob Greasy used to win. The Dolphins used to win 24-7, and he'd be 4-for-6 in the game. Well, the other day, Jimmy Garoppolo was 6-for-8, and they won in a bit of a rout. And I think Kyle Shanahan understands. Everybody on the 49ers all week is going to say, oh, we got all the faith in the world in Jim. That's just how the game plan went. Kyle knows. Kyle understands. Jimmy Garoppolo probably doesn't feel great about winning the NFC Championship game, and everybody's saying, what's wrong with Garoppolo? So I think he'll be ready, and I think he will come out and just say, we'll show you Jimmy Garoppolo on Sunday.
I'm sitting and I'm listening to you, and I'm realizing that for the first time in many years to me, this feels new and feels exciting, this Super Bowl.
Yeah.
This, I'm not saying it's a changing of a guard, but I'm saying that I'm into this because I like to watch these teams. It's early in the week still. Which way are you leaning?
I'm leaning very slightly to Kansas City, but I would not be surprised if either team won this game by 14 points because the San Francisco defense, unlike all the other pass rushes that Patrick Mahomes has faced, has got 4 or 5 really good guys all across the front. They can all get to the quarterback. And look, Kansas City's got a good line, but Patrick Mahomes is used to looking maybe here and there. Now he's got to look everywhere. And they also have relief pitchers. You know, they got to roll this Chapman on the bench ready. And so that's the problem with this game from Mahomes' sake. He's the best in the NFL against pressure. And he's going to be really tested on that Sunday.
Peter, pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, guys.
Let's take one last break. Still to come, was Roger Federer's latest win a sign of strength or weakness?
Zion Williamson is back on the court tonight. Is it time for him to get more minutes than he's been getting?
Peter and I, Newsday alumni, you know.
Newsday Alumni Association.
That's right. He thought he was too good. Happy time, people. Happy 36th birthday, Andre Iguodala. The former Finals MVP is not actually playing right now, although he is on the roster of the Memphis Grizzlies and is being paid $17 million this season. Apparently, he's waiting to end up somewhere else, which is nice work if you can get it. Iguodala was traded to Memphis as a necessary cap cut by the Golden State Warriors when they acquired D'Angelo Russell. Wilbon, you love Iguodala.
I do.
Where's he going to end up? Will it be this season? And why is Memphis paying him?
They made a deal for him. A contender should step up. Patience is going to be great for Iguodala. He's on TV now. He's available for golf.
So am I. I'm not making $17
million. You're not that talented.
Happy anniversary, 49ers. On this day, 30 years ago, the Niners handed the Denver Broncos the most lopsided Super Bowl loss ever. 55-10 beatdown in New Orleans. So I immediately said Steve Young. But no, it was Joe Montana's last Super Bowl, and he was magnificent. 22 of 29, 297 yards, 5 touchdowns. On the other side, John Elway lost his 3rd Super Bowl and had one of his worst games ever.
Yeah.
10 of 26, only 108 yards, 2 picks, no touchdowns, a rating of 19. Wilbon, you love John Elway.
I do.
This was a clunker.
He had 2 previous ones. He was a one-man show then. When John Elway had a team, and particularly a Hall of Fame running back, what happened? He won his last 2, even though he was the ancient warrior then.
And got out at the right time.
That's right.
Happy Glorious Trails, Tennis Sandgren. The 100th ranked player in the world suffered one of the most humiliating losses in history. The American from Tennessee had 7 different match point opportunities against Roger Federer, including 4 straight in the tiebreak in the 4th set, and he converted none. Roger Federer did what champions are supposed to do, win against all odds. And afterwards, Federer conceded, quote, "I don't deserve this one. You got to get lucky sometimes. I tell you that," unquote.
I was following the score. I didn't have it on. Look at the score. I'm not going to that. I'm going to stay with Law & Order, SVU, an episode for the 8th or 9th time. I'm not going to Federer.
That's Choke for job. You.
Come get me.
That's for you.
For the stupid decision
One
I made.
One omission. The Texans will name Bill O'Brien the team's GM in addition to being its head coach.
I don't like that.
And we go to the big finish.
Let's do it.
Eric Gordon scored 50 as the Rockets beat the Jazz without Harden or Westbrook. Your thoughts?
It's a great win for Houston on the road in Utah where they'd won 9 straight at home. Terrible loss
it
for Utah.
Bad.
But last night was such a weird night in the NBA, Tony. I don't know what to make of any of it. Bo Pelini is LSU's new defensive coordinator. Is he a good choice?
LSU's a great place to coach, but maybe not this coming year with all the people who are leaving the program. I remember Pelini in Nebraska. I actually
Big
thought he was unhinged to some degree. Baylor is now number one over Gonzaga in both polls. Are you surprised?
No, and I'm also, I don't know what it means. The college basketball season is so unpredictable right now. No one's great. So being number one right now means Jack. Clayton Kershaw says he'd like to see more remorse from the Astros who cheated. You agree with that, don't you?
This is what I'm talking about. He's a big star. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think he represents the will of a lot of players who say, wait a second, this was a bad thing. This is Dusty Baker's biggest challenge, to keep that team psychologically together. Last one, Pelicans and Cavs tonight. What do you expect out of Zion?
Cavaliers not all world on defense, and Zion may have his way. Zion's got to 20-10 pretty darn quickly, hadn't he?
I think he does. We are out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.
The great Jack Vardaman, the great Jimmy Dunn shout-out.